Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, podcasting since 2005, you're listening to Gamertag Radio with your host, podcaster Hall of Famer Danny Pena, the always opinionated Paris Lilly, and from outside of the norm, Peter Toledo. This is Gamertag Radio.
And welcome to another episode of Gamertag Radio. I am Paris, and I'm joined this week by Pete.
What up? You doing?
I'm good, man. Obviously, it's been a few weeks since I've been on. I'm sure people know at this point what's been going on in my personal life. So I just want to thank everyone that has reached out, both publicly and privately, with just the various things, you know, that have been going on. It's really appreciated by myself and my family, and, you know, life has to move on. Let's just put it that way. Something my mother told me, and it's something I will obviously carry with me the rest of my life, that, you know, life has to go on. So that's exactly what we're going to do.
Very true.
I do apologize. I had to take a sip of coffee. So, I don't want to dwell on that too much. Back, obviously, we're talking video games. Before we jump into the show, I want to remind everyone that you can find us over at GamertagRadio.com. And obviously, you can find us on your favorite RSS feed, be it Spotify, Apple Podcasts. I think, didn't Google go away? I think Google Play went away, right? Did it? Doesn't matter. Anyways, wherever you get a podcast, you can find Gamertag Radio. We're on the ColecoVision as well, if you have a ColecoVision. So, before we jump into the show, you can also leave us feedback just like this.
Send us your feedback or questions. Give us a call at 786-273-7GTR. Email us at fanmail@gamertagradio.com. Or leave a message on speakpipe.com/gamertagradio.
All right, Pete, how you doing, man?
I'm doing all right. Just like you, I'll just be a little oversharing here. Finally over the last hurdle, I think, that gets my family here to Switzerland. So the next 2 weeks, I will be on and off line, literally, as I get ready to move to a different state here in Switzerland. The positives are it's a 15-minute walk to the work. So, cool. Negatives are I can't blame the train for being late to work anymore.
Yeah.
But I mean, at the end of the day, you know, I'm fortunate enough that I'm able to transition and move quickly, literally, in order to get my family here. So, and you know, shout out to the job because they've been super supportive and they're helping out as much as possible here. So, you know, hopefully all my paperwork was submitted all of last week. So by Thursday, I've submitted everything, which means according to them, it will take anywhere from 4 to 6 weeks at the most that I'll finally have my family here with me in Switzerland. And yeah, I won't have them for my birthday, which is in 2 weeks, but I'll have them for the holidays. And that's what's most important, right? I'll be able to spend Christmas with them. I was able to spend it with them last year because I brought them here, but they'll be here to live full time. So yeah.
That's awesome. Yeah, that is awesome. Awesome. Really good to hear.
Yeah.
Yeah. 2020, man.
2020. It can just go bleep off, man, for real.
Yeah.
Rest in peace, Sean Connery, the GOAT, you know.
Yeah, man. Like I tweeted it yesterday. One of the first movies I ever remember watching was From Russia with Love. Mm. I mean, and that he'll always be my James Bond. But I mean, his Rolodex is just, honestly, I don't know if anyone, I don't know if anyone will ever top it, honestly, you know, as far as acting goes. Like we said, you talk about that, but and I'm blanking on the name now, but his character in The Untouchables, there's another one, obviously The Rock.
No,
he wasn't Elliot Ness. He was the cop. He was the beat cop that that Elliot Ness recruited. I'm forgetting his name. Anyways, we don't have to dwell on that. This is about video games, right? So, not a whole lot to talk about this week. And let me just get this out of the way right now. Yes, I have a PlayStation 5. You've probably seen me posting about it on social media. No, there is not a lot I can talk about right now, except to say I do want to thank PlayStation for this opportunity. I will have a full review soon about the actual hardware unit. So I know a lot of people have been asking me about specs and this and that and the other. That will come in time. Here's what I will say, because I am allowed to talk about this. I have been playing Astro's Playroom on the PlayStation 5. It comes with the PlayStation 5. This is a quote-unquote game that you'll be able to play. And I'm doing air quotes for the audio people, but I really shouldn't be, because the game, I'm being very careful about what I can talk about. There's a certain level you can stream. But what I can say is the DualSense controller is probably the most next-gen thing that I've experienced between the PlayStation 5 and even the Xbox Series X. Absolutely. It's a fantastic controller. The things that it is doing with motion, haptic feedback, and the adaptive triggers is phenomenal. And Astro's Playroom was literally designed to showcase this. Like I said, I'll have a lot more to talk about this in the future, but everyone that you've seen in tech that has been showing off this controller and talking about it, it's real. It's 100% real. It's a fantastic controller. They're doing, I'm just saying, they're doing some very unique things. I'm trying to be careful with what I say, but I don't want to talk about things that I shouldn't be talking about yet, right, other than to say that this controller is fantastic. There may or may not be some other games that I have played on the PlayStation 5 that take advantage of it too, that are freaking amazing. Let's just put it that way. So, but yeah, PlayStation 5, I have, matter of fact, for people that are here, I use the controller right here to DualSense. For people watching this on Twitch, I mean, it's fantastic. It's very comfortable to use. Like I said, it's doing some very unique things in space. But I will have a lot more to say about the PlayStation 5 soon-ish. I want to give a date, but I want to thank PlayStation for the opportunity. It's been great that not only have I been able to preview the Xbox Series X, which, God, I have had that thing now about, is it a month? I've had it a month. I've had it at my house a month now. And now I've had the PlayStation 5 almost a week. And yeah, I have a lot to say about both in the very near future. So I don't know if there's anything you wanted to add or add question on that.
It's the fact that the controller has been, and I'm assuming that it's because it's a timed discussion. You can only talk about what you could talk about in a staged essence, I guess, right? You can only talk about that. But the fact that there's been so much hype about the controller, and I'm going to be, you know, I'm just going to keep it a buck. I'm a PC player. I don't see the big value or the big requirement for it, although I do have one for when I'm playing certain types of games. Would I be able to use that or tie that to my PC, provided I had a Bluetooth adapter and play my games with that? I guess that'd be the only question.
No, you can. Because people are getting it already. So it's not like it's not out in the wild and people are doing impressions of it from that very way that they're connecting it via Bluetooth to like their PC or stuff. I've seen people playing like Stadia. I've seen people playing Project X Cloud using it, stuff like that. So the controller absolutely works. You know, it can be used just like you can right now with a Bluetooth controller doing other things. That much I can say, because that's out in the wild. But the secret sauce is how it interacts with the PlayStation 5. That's all I say. And you can obviously, there's video, because it's just my schedule's been so crazy the past week.
Right.
I don't have a video out. We can actually show one level of Astro's Playroom that is utilizing that controller. I will just simply say again, wow. Wow. I mean, wow. I am highly impressed with what that controller is able to do. And I'll say this because I've seen people already, you know, looking at the downside of this. I do not expect third-party companies to take advantage of this. Like, I'm not expecting, I don't know, the next Assassin's Creed to be taking advantage of the DualSense the way that Sony's internal studios will. But that's the one thing that does excite me. Sure, it may not have the mass adoption across the entire industry.
Right.
But at least with PlayStation's exclusive lineup, there's, why wouldn't they? You know, of course those games are going to take advantage of it. So be excited about the next Ratchet and Clank. Be excited about when God of War comes out, Horizon, what is it? Crap. I always want to call it Horizon Zero Dawn 2, but Dark, it's not. Forbidden West. Yeah, Horizon Forbidden West. Just things like that. The games that you know are going to be coming, you know, to PlayStation that potentially can take advantage of that controller. Be excited about that. And like I said, I will have more to say in the very near future. So another thing I wanted to circle back to, if you listened to our last episode, I had Jason Ronald on and we talked about the Xbox Series X and the S, more just specifically the technical hardware of those two systems and what Xbox is doing on their side that has me pretty excited as well. So make sure you go listen to that interview on the previous episode. But the reason that I want to bring that up, because we talked about this a little bit in the interview, and then it's now been officially confirmed that the Xbox Series X and S are full RDNA 2 systems. Because AMD obviously had their big event with Big Navi and debuted their next-gen GPUs, which, again, be excited about that 6800 and 6900. I believe 6900 actually outperforms the 3090. And so we'll see when real world stuff comes out, but that's what AMD is touting. And it comes in at $999, which obviously price wise is a lot better than what the 3090 is as well. So there's some exciting stuff just happening on the tech side. And, you know, I put out a picture yesterday where I'm holding the PlayStation 5 and the Series X. And I did it for two reasons. Number one, I did it because everybody should be excited about the next generation of gaming. I'm just telling you that right now. Having experienced it firsthand, be excited about the next generation of gaming because some really cool innovations is going to start happening because of the way that these devices are going to take advantage of these SSD drives. Obviously, you know, the AMD socks that are in there, RDNA 2, just everything that's coming on a technical standpoint. You're going to see games in the next couple of years start to do some really cool stuff that we've not seen in the current gen. That's just a fact. That's going to happen. Second reason I posted it, I wanted both of them in the picture together. You can't go wrong either way. You just can't. You won't go wrong either way. No, it doesn't matter. This isn't a review or anything. This is just, trust me when I say, both systems are amazing. Both systems do some really cool things. And like I said, when the embargoes are up, we'll talk about this more in depth. But I say this because I just hope that people, look, love PlayStation all you want. Love Xbox all you want. Love ColecoVision, Vectrex. I don't give a crap. The point is, let's stop arguing in the community about who has what console and when and all that kind of stuff. I think as we're going into this next generation, seeing what this hardware is doing, just be excited. It doesn't matter. Honestly, if you can afford it, get them all. But if you can only get one, you're good. Play with your friends. Have fun. Let's stop arguing online so much about things that are so trivial because they both do unique, amazing things. And I think that's having hands-on experience with both. I think that's the one thing that people need to just chill, relax. 2020 is already a dumpster fire. Let's not make it worse by arguing about consoles. Seriously, because they're both great. I don't know. Anything you want to add to that before we move on?
Regarding that and specific, no, I just wanted to go back to the controller conversation. I saw a picture.
I'm under embargo. I'm not answering anything.
It's a physical feature on there. Just listen to me, all right? Stop dannying out and interrupting me. If you zoom into the, or if you look really closely at it, like normally, like on a controller, it would be like, there'd be like some kind of like surface on the back or something like that. It makes it look or makes it feel like more tactile. Is it true that it's actually the square, circle, triangle buttons.
Yes.
That's so cool.
That is true. Yeah, that is true. It's pretty cool. It's pretty cool, little neat feature that obviously you would never pay attention to. And like you said, unless you just 100% zoom in on it. But it's just a tiny little touch, a nice little cool little touch that they put to the controller. Again, the controller is freaking amazing. I can say that 100%, you know, and we'll deep dive into it more and how it actually interacts with games, you know, when the embargo lifts. Right. But controller is fantastic. I mean, PlayStation did something really good with this, for sure.
My only other question would be, and it's probably, you probably haven't had it long enough to really make an educated decision, but is it good enough that you would discard or put away any of your SCUF controllers or any of the other ones that you've acquired over the years?
It's funny you say that. No, for the simple fact that I'm actually excited to see what a SCUF will do with the DualSense controller, because I like the unique Joy-Cons and everything. I like being able to customize the controller when it comes to that stuff, as far as grips goes, the height of the Joy-Cons, things like that. So that is something I'm actually interested to see how they'll take advantage of that, you know, moving forward. But I will say, as a default controller that comes in the box, it's fine. It's a really good controller, and like I said, I think people are going to really enjoy it when they, again, when you have it in your hands and it's doing all the things in your hands, you're going to be like, wow, this is really freaking cool. You're going to do some cool stuff with it. So I'll leave it at that, because I'm not trying to break an embargo or anything. So it's a cool controller. So
sweet.
Moving on from that, Cyberpunk 2077, it got delayed again, And it's not coming out now until December 10th, 2020, instead of November 19th. And a 21 day delay. There's obviously been a lot of hoopla about that this week. Of course, crunch has come up again because of that. Of course, Jason Schreier had something to say. Not a surprise. I have commented on this, and I will, and because I'm actually curious what you think, Pete, but my thought on it is this: delay it until 2021 if it's about crunch.
I'm by me.
Now, they're saying it's not. They're basically saying they have one shot to launch this game. They want it to launch. They want the launch to be perfect. They want it to. They don't want a bunch of issues and bugs at launch. Again, rumor and speculation. We don't know. They're launching this across 9 different platforms when you include all the consoles and Stadia and PC. And the rumor is they're having some trouble with the original Xbox One and PlayStation 4. They've already said it runs great on PC. It's done and ready for PC. It runs great on the Series X and the PlayStation 5. They're not the issues. They're talking about the original consoles potentially being an issue. Again, rumor speculation. We don't know how 100% true that is. Like I said, my thing is I just hope these guys aren't crunching these extra 3 weeks to get there. If they are, I hope they're being compensated very well, and I hope their families are being taken care of, because that's my number one concern when it comes to this. Like I said, delayed to February 2021, and I'd be fine. I don't care. We'll get the game. I already know it's going to be amazing, so trust me, it's worth the wait. I'm not worrying about that. So when it comes to the crunch stuff, I just hope it's not too bad, because that's all I can do, because it's out of my control and they're clearly pushing to launch this game. We'll be fine waiting an extra 21 days. I have no concerns with that at all. I still think it will be an amazing experience, and obviously I'm going to talk about it 24 hours a day, 7 days a week when it does happen. I'm trying to take the words of the devs and the people at CDPR that have spoken about this publicly, that, hey, they just want it to be perfect. So they're taking a little extra time for some TLC. Okay, fine. What I'm not okay with is the death threats have come out of this. And I have seen some of them, and it is absolutely horrible. And just honestly, people out there, grow up, seriously, because you keyboard warriors that are saying all this crazy stuff, we all know you're not really going to do it, but you're trying to say the most mean, hurtful things possible because you're not getting your video game when you want it. And it's just the most ridiculous thing to do. These are people over there. They have families, they have children they have to take care of. This is their job that they're trying to do. And you making it harder because you're complaining because they delayed the game 3 extra weeks does not make it better. Look, be disappointed. I'm disappointed that it got delayed, but I'm also a logical person and an adult and understand why it got delayed. And I'm okay with it because, again, it's a video game. You will be fine. There are so many other games that are out right now that, look, go play Watch Dogs, go play Assassin's Creed, get your Xbox Series X, get your PlayStation 5, play Spider-Man Miles Morales, Demon Souls, you know, the whole back compat of the Xbox. There's so many things that you can be playing that can occupy your time an extra 3 weeks while you wait on Cyberpunk 2077. So it's unfortunate. And like I said, I just hope these people grow up. It's ridiculous to threaten a game developer over a video game. And I've talked way too much, Pete. What do you think?
Well, I think it's not funny, but it's not like those death threats are going to all of a sudden halt that developer and say, you know what? You're right. I'm not going to delay it anymore. Yeah. I'm just going to put it out. That's not going to change the narrative. So those that are immature to the point that they have to threaten a developer because they're not getting what they're wanting, which is the release of a title that's, you know, highly anticipated, and I totally get it. But the death threats are just signs of a petulant child not getting what they want. And it's disrespectful to the time and effort that those developers and programmers and coders have already put into this. On top of the fact that, yeah, they're not going to be able to launch on the date that you may have taken it, you know, you may have taken off so that you can enjoy, but take into consideration the thousands of hours that he or she behind a keyboard has been sitting there staring at their computer trying to make the best possible game of this generation coming up for your enjoyment. Try taking that into consideration. And I think it'll help. Hopefully you've got enough brain cells or IQ points where that it makes a difference. But unfortunately, you know, there are those in this world that can't use that higher learning function in their brain. The other thing, the more conversational part, right, that I would love to have with you about this is 6 months ago when we were talking about things holding back a generation, holding back a launch, right? We're like, oh, well, if we could play it on PlayStation 4, we could play it on the Switch. Ah, I shouldn't. But now we're seeing potentially, and again, it's rumored speculation, but it smells like it, right? If it is the fact that, yeah, they're launching it across 9 different platforms and, you know, PC, they've said it works fantastic, as does the next gen, but it's the older stuff that that it might be having an issue with. If that's the case, does this actually function as a clear-cut case for putting that drop in, that line in the sand saying, okay, after this date, games are only going to be developed for, you know, project X, Y, and Z versus
no,
current generation?
I don't think so. I don't think so for the simple fact. Let's just take Cyberpunk as an example. Mm-hmm. It's been in development for 8 years. So it started development on the current gen consoles. We know for a fact there is over 110 million PlayStation 4 owners out mm-hmm. there. Let's again, estimating,
right.
Let's just say there's 50 or 60 million Xbox owners out there. CD Projekt Red would be a damn fool to make a next gen only Cyberpunk 2077 and abandon all those users. They're not going to do that. And the same as we're seeing right now with PlayStation, Miles Morales is on the PlayStation 4. We know Horizon Forbidden West is, Halo Infinite was going to be, you know, on the current games. You're not going to leave behind your current gamer base until there's enough of the new hardware out there in the world mm-hmm. for people to actually purchase and they've adopted and all that. So we've been arguing this since the whole announcement, but you're not in the first couple of years, you're not going to leave those people behind because most games aren't going to truly take advantage of the next gen hardware in the first couple of years anyways, right? Because they started off life in the current gen and being developed. Now, CD Projekt Red has admitted that some of the ambition and things that they've done, that Cyberpunk is damn near a next gen game. But at no point have they ever said they were going to leave the current gen behind. So with that said, you have to make the game work on the current gen. So if they are, and look, here's my speculation. I know nothing. No one has said anything to me. It's that original microwave Xbox One. I guarantee you that's the problem. That thing is the problem. It's that one. I bet you that microwave Xbox One is struggling with frame rate right now. And they're probably figuring out how to properly optimize it. They're probably lowering the, like, I guarantee you when Cyberpunk comes out, it'll be running at 900p or less on that microwave Xbox One. And it's probably going to struggle to keep a solid 30 frames. I bet you that's the issue right now. I actually don't think the PlayStation 4 is the issue because we know the PlayStation 4, even the original one, was superior to that microwave Xbox One. I think it probably runs fine on the One S, obviously the One X, the PS4 Pro on up. I'm telling you that original Xbox is probably the bottleneck and you will probably not see that game running before launch on that original Xbox One. I just think that's the problem. But you have to account for that hardware and you have to appease that part of your base, your user base, because there are people out there that still have that original microwave Xbox One. You can't just leave it behind. No developer right now in these first couple of years of the next gen are going to leave those people behind. So Watch Dogs runs on it. Assassin's Creed runs on it. I don't know. I'm just trying to think of other games, you know, new games that are about to come out that are quote unquote cross gen. Yeah. All these games are going to be run. I know we're just saying all
Ubisoft titles. Yeah, know,
but this is the point. Ubisoft ain't leaving nobody behind. Ubisoft's trying to make money. This is the point I'm trying to make. Same as CD Projekt Red. So I know long story short, I don't agree with what you're saying in that the cutoff date will naturally happen in the next couple of years, as it has always happened. We're actually just in a unique situation this time where everything's on x86.
Right.
So the opportunity is there that you don't have to leave behind the previous gen. They're going to still try and make their money with these games. So this is what, again, take it all the way back to January with Matt Booty and Xbox caught all this crap because they said they were going to not leave anybody behind. They were going to have all these cross, you know, gen games. And then we found out PlayStation is doing the same exact thing. And we already knew third party was going to do it too. It's a business at the end of the day. They're not going to leave their consumer base behind until they have no choice. Because we already know it's going to be hard as it's going to be a freaking unicorn trying to find a PlayStation 5 or an Xbox Series S or X this holiday. If you didn't pre-order one already, PlayStation pretty much just confirmed it. Jim Ryan already said it. Look, if you ain't got one already, if it ain't in the bag, good luck, because it's going to be hard to find one. The demand for that thing is off the charts. But even realistically, it's going to be under 10 million of them in the first couple quarters, right? As they ramp up production and they get them out there. Now, we can have this argument a year from now, potentially, by the time we get the next holiday. But right now, oh, no. So yeah, a game like Cyberpunk and all that, it has to work on that original Xbox One and PlayStation 4 because that's where your consumers are going to still live for at least the next 12 to 18 months. It's just the reality of the business.
So I have a secondary question that pivots off of that. Do you think it makes sense then for developers to maybe make PS like older generation versus next generation versions or iterations of their title so that it becomes a point of, okay, well, like you said, CDPR has even stated that there's some features in Cyberpunk 2077 that, you know, are truly next gen. And then that's probably that might be where the difficulty is in to adjust for older generation titles or older generation platforms. Well, does it make sense to make a game that, okay, let's say you can't afford the new generation, so you're on a PS4 or Xbox One, And that you won't get certain functions or things within the game unless you're in, unless you're on a newer platform.
Well, if you remember, going back to this, the beginning of this previous gen, Titanfall is actually a great example of this. They made a 360 version of Titanfall, and it didn't do everything that the Xbox One version did. So previously, when you had two different architectures, we saw scenarios of this. I believe, like Assassin's Creed Black Flag, I think did it. I know the original Destiny also did the same thing. And then it just got to a point where obviously cut it off, and then you move forward, like I was talking before. I just don't think that happens this time because the architecture is the same. So you treat it more like a PC game. PC right. scales up, PC scales down. And I think that's what's happening here. But I'll go back to, again, it does kind of suck because you're scaling down to hardware that is now 7 years old. And really, it's even older than that when they started the actual development of it. So that does make it a little tougher. And honestly, I blame Microsoft for this. I honestly don't think the PlayStation is the issue at the bottleneck here at all. I really don't. I think the PS4 is fine. I think it is that original Xbox One because the architect, and again, I'm not trying to get into the whole technical features of it, but if you look at the architecture of the original Xbox One, it freaking sucks. just the bottom line. They cut so many corners with that, and that's why it was inferior, and that's why you saw a 1S come out, and obviously a 1X, because they were trying to rectify that situation. Not to mention they're on those crappy Jaguar CPUs, which don't help anything at all. I do think, going back to your original question, I do think, yeah, that previously was happening before, but I just don't think they're doing that now. Mm-hmm. And now it's just a thing of, remember Smokey's mom in Friday, where she gave him the money? He was like, hey, this ain't enough. She's like, make it enough. That's what they're saying right now with that original Xbox One. So look, we'll see. Hopefully those extra 21 days, they get it right and get it at least stable enough. I just think they're going to downscale it so much that no one's going to want to, I shouldn't say no one. People are obviously, it's going to be playable, but that's not going to be a version of Cyberpunk that you're going to want to showcase. Let's just put it that way.
Mm-hmm. True. Very true.
All right. So that's it on Cyberpunk. I think we'll move on from there. Now we have voicemails. Danny, send it to us last minute. Yeah, I'm saying it in public. Because matter of fact, let me say this, because I'm saying it on the podcast proper. I ain't going to say it in the after show. So Danny is currently traveling the country right now. He's actually moving out here to the West Coast. We're going to be neighbors here soon. So that'll be interesting. But on his travels, he's been sending me little videos. So, you know, obviously we got Spider Cuz. That was hilarious. I loved it with the PlayStation 5. That was great. But now that he's on the West Coast, he's traveling down. He's in San Francisco right now. He's literally recruited Greg Miller, Yusuf over at Ubisoft. And I even saw one with Tim Geddes. I haven't watched it yet, where they're just cussing me out and saying all these hurtful things to me. It hurts, Danny. It really does. It hurts my feelings that you would do this. But you wait till we get off this podcast. I got something to say. So anyways, he last minute sent voicemails that he should have sent me 2 days ago, because he was more interested in actually doing all these videos where he's in the woods like he's freaking Frodo or something going to Mordor. But that's OK. That's OK. I'm going to play a voicemail right now, and let's go ahead and discuss that. So here we go. Voicemail number one.
What's up, Gamer Tag Radio? This is Jeremy over here in Portland, Oregon. I just had a quick question. After about 40 years or so of close to gaming my entire life, I've actually never owned an Xbox console. I've always been a PC, Nintendo, Sony fanboy, but the moves they're making with Game Pass and Phil Spencer kind of leading the way right now. I just thought it was too good to be true. My question for you guys is, I'm not familiar with Game Pass whatsoever, but I did pre-order an Xbox Series X. And what I'm wondering is, are the games that are coming out on Game Pass going to be optimized for the Series X? Or do you actually have to own those games for them to be optimized in the future? Love the show, guys. Keep up the great work, and love to hear your feedback. Thanks, bye.
All right. Thank you for that voicemail. So to answer his question, no, you do not need to own those games. If you subscribe to Game Pass and you're able to get the game via Game Pass and it is optimized for the Series X and S, you're good. You're fine. I may or may not. Well, wait, can I say this?
I can say this.
So, because this is public. So, like, okay. Gears 5, as an example, I am playing the optimized version of that right now on the Series X. It is the same with Forza Horizon 4. Both of those games are available via Game Pass. You're good. You'll get it day one when you get the Series X, no problem. I know optimized versions of Halo, the Halo Master Chief Collection, are coming out. I don't think it's day one at launch. I think it's like a week or so later. I want to say it's like the 17th. I know they're working on one for Sea of Thieves. So long story short on that, what I'm saying is, as they optimize these games for Series X, just subscribe to Game Pass. You're good. You don't need to physically go spend $60 to own that game to be able to have it. You'll be fine. Now, these are Microsoft games, obviously. The games that aren't in Game Pass, something like Watch Dogs Legion, Assassin's Creed, a lot of Ubisoft here. But anyways, I guess because they're coming. But those games will be optimized, but you'll obviously need to go purchase them because they're not on Game Pass. Dirt 5 is going to be another one as well. So, I don't know. Anything you want to add to that, Pete? Why don't I hear Pete?
Because I'm completely.
Oh my God. See, Jesus, look, I'm thinking it's me. I'm like, oh my God, did I do something on the XLR?
Sorry, I'll start that over again. So, starting on the 17th of November, 1 week after the release of the Xbox Series X and Series S Master Chief Collection, on both will run at 120 frames per second and get 4K support on Series X. So, there you go.
Yep. Yep. Look, and this I can obviously talk about just through the preview program. These optimized versions of these games that are already on Game Pass is pretty freaking cool. And obviously all the load times, quick resume and all that stuff. So sounds like, you know, you're kind of new to the Xbox ecosystem. The person that left the voicemail. It's exciting. I've been saying this all summer. Game Pass will be the future of how we consume games. It is. It is such a brilliant idea. It is more than worth the value of what you're paying. Phil Spencer even just came out recently and said it is sustainable the way it is. They have no plans of increasing prices down the road, stuff like that. We're going to hold you to that, Phil. But, you know, robust library of games. Obviously, it's going to keep getting better as all these studio acquisitions start to pay off for Xbox and we see all these new games come out. Like Avowed is one I'm super excited to see when that hits. Obviously, we're going to get Halo at some point. We'll circle back to Halo after I play this. Actually, let's talk about Halo now. So Chris Lee, the creative director, I guess, right? Creative director, studio, something like that. But he was basically top guy for Halo Infinite over at 343. He has, quote unquote, resigned and is no longer a part of the Halo Infinite project. Sounds like he is still at Microsoft, but no longer part of 343 and has anything to do with Halo Infinite. We know that Joe Staten came on board. He used to be at Bungie. He came over to Microsoft. I know he worked on Crackdown 3. I want to say he worked on Tell Me Why. Sounds about right. But for those that don't know Joe Staten, he's actually the voice of the grunts from the original. He was one of the original guys at Bungie when Halo CE came out. He's basically written the entire story of Halo up to a certain point. I want to say as far as Reach, I think that was the last contribution he had to the Halo story. I know he's written various books, things like that. But the story that we've seen with Master Chief and Cortana in a nutshell, that's been his baby. He has been the brainchild of that, you know, for lack of a better term. So he came over to 343 a few months ago. This has not been confirmed. I don't know his exact role, but it kind of sounds like he's heading the project moving forward. I'm curious to get your thoughts on this, Pete. I will just simply say, do not expect Halo Infinite anytime soon. I think the earliest we see Halo Infinite will be a year from now. Not shock me if it slipped into 2022. And I've been saying this for the past couple years, and I will say it again. Take all the time you need. Do not screw this up, Microsoft. And clearly they know they can't screw this up. This is why they delayed it. This is why we're seeing a shakeup in leadership over there. I was excited for it. You can obviously already tell the entire launch of the Series X was supposed to be about Halo. So that's been a blow to their launch plans, and they've obviously shifted and corrected from there, but they cannot screw up Halo Infinite. So whatever it is they need to do internally with leadership, whatever, to right the ship and get that project right, do what you got to do. But please take your time. I don't even want to see this game until a year from now, because if they take an additional year with Halo Infinite, that tells me that they're putting all their TLC into this. It's kind of like the CDPR thing. They kept delaying it because they wanted to be perfect at launch. So I want to see 343 take their time and give us the Halo that honestly at this point we deserve. I mean, it's been too long since I've been excited about Halo. I mean, the fact that I have to go and play the Master Chief Collection to play Halo games from over a decade ago to be excited about Halo is unacceptable. This is the flagship IP for Microsoft. It always has been. It probably always will be, unless they screw this up. Because if they screw up Halo Infinite, I just don't know where the franchise is going to go. So, unfortunate to see Chris leave. Danny and I got a chance to speak with him after the reveal a few months ago. And like, unfortunately, he's no longer part of the project. But I hope they write the ship on it. So, Pete, what do you think?
So, you know, he started his career at Bungie, right? As a project manager or product manager.
Speaking of who?
Joe Staten.
Okay.
So, and then he was the writer and director of cinematics for Halo CE and then Halo 2. And he was a writer for 3 and Reach. And then he was a creative consultant for Halo Wars and ODST, and was the writer and creative director for Destiny. So if there's anybody who can come back and hopefully right the ship, it's going to be him. He won't be there as a creative lead. He's going to be the project lead. So he's going to be the one that's directing, kind of like as the orchestrator for the Halo Infinite project, right? I know he's there now as a senior creative director of Xbox Game Studios. So he's had his hands in other things. Although if you really think about it, some of the things that he's been working on over the last few years really haven't panned out that well. And it does add a little bit of concern from my perspective. He worked on ReCore, which was, unfortunately a disappointment. It had a lot of promise, but it just never took off. And then, he contributed to Crackdown 3. So, I hope it's not a case of them pulling someone who has ties to the past of Halo, simply just on that. Hopefully it's because, Joe does have a solid history in games as a whole, specifically with regards to Halo, right? That if there's a super shining bright mark on not just his his legacy, but also Microsoft, it's been generally Halo. And I think he's written books as well. I think he wrote Fractures, if I'm not mistaken.
He's written some of the books.
Did Fractures and Shadow of Intent, I think, which, I mean, Mandy's in the chat right now, and, I know she's read a lot of them. I've read almost all of them. I think there's like one or two. I think Fractures is the only one I haven't read. But this is what they needed. They needed the kick in the ass, and if you have to bleep that out, Danny, you're gonna have to do it. But I think 343 and Microsoft needed the kick in the pants to get this done. Obviously, Craig wasn't it, and I hope the next time we see what the rework is on this, that it's not just it's not a 4K Craig, because I think that's just going to cause a much bigger issue. So
I agree. Completely agree. I think the Craig memes clearly spooked them out of trying to launch this game in the state that it was. That clearly had a big factor in it. And I do think, graphically, we're going to see an overhaul with just some of the character designs and the facial features, things like that, because that image will forever haunt that game if it doesn't change. It's just a fact. So we'll see. I am still excited for Halo Infinite. I'm just being patient at this point, because I saw enough in the little bit of the demo that we did see that I see the potential of what they're trying to do. I think they're really doing something cool, and we've yet to see the multiplayer. My whole thing with Halo Infinite is this: take your time, because part of taking your time is let's see multiple flights over the next 12 months for that multiplayer. Really get the feedback of the community, work out the kinks and the bugs, because the multiplayer is what's going to carry that game long term, right? For, you know, beyond the campaign. So get that right. Let us get our hands on with it. Let us give you the proper feedback that you need. Obviously, you're going to do it in stages, start small, and then you're going to scale up as we get closer. Obviously get the ray tracing implemented. Give this a graphical overhaul for certain things. I think some things were absolutely fine, some things were not. So clearly they got to work on that. It sounds like the campaign, for the most part, was done. Now, maybe Joe Staten comes in and decides that ain't good enough and they have to change some of the story beats as well. Don't know. We'll see. But if they're getting into the weeds that deep, you're going to need time, which is why I'm saying a year from now, maybe even 18 months from now is when we see that game. That's just where I am. Anything sooner than that, I'm just going to tell you right now, my spidey sense is going to go off. I'm like, oh, what do you mean you put this game out in May? Uh-oh.
It's going to be another Mass Effect Andromeda or Anthem.
Yeah, I'm going to be concerned.
That's not what we want.
Yeah, I'm just going to be concerned. I'm just going to be honest with you right now. Hopefully, if they do launch it earlier than that, just prove me wrong. But I'm going to go into it with a heavy amount of skepticism. That's all I'm saying. So, because I want Halo to be great. That's all I care about.
Of course.
I don't need it now. Look, I'm going to be in Night City anyways. It ain't going to matter to me. But take your time with Halo, please. And then get it right. And then we can all be happy, excited about Master Chief and Cortana again, because that's all we want. So we'll see. All right. Now moving on. Voicemail number 2.
Hey, guys. This is Lucas from Vancouver, Canada. Just wanted to send some love your way. I'm a courier driving full time, and you guys keep me company on the road. I mean, I would say all day long, but your podcasts only usually run about an hour. So if you make them longer, though, I'd be happy with that. yeah, you guys are the best. You're fair. You're concise. You have a great back and forth. I just wanted to let you know that I really appreciate everything you guys do. Anyways, though, I do have a quick question, or rather, I just want to hear your thoughts. The future of gaming is... I think more unclear than it ever has been, with the entrance of Amazon, with the entrance of Google, with Xbox pivoting to this ecosystem model. Things are really crazy right now. And that kind of got me thinking, you know, who isn't doing something crazy? Sony. Sony is still just making consoles and hoping people buy their exclusives. I'm wondering if you guys think it's a possibility that, you know, absolute worst case scenario, dystopia future here, Sony gets bought up by Google or Amazon. Or do you think there could be a partnership there? What sort of innovation do you think Sony could be looking at to try to compete in this future landscape? Thanks for the time.
Thank you for that voicemail. I don't think Sony's going to do anything other than what they've already been doing, because the leader doesn't react to the competition. They're still the leader. Nothing's going to change when it comes to that. I've been saying this for the longest. I know people love to do all the console war silliness, but look how many PlayStation 4s are out there in the wild. Look at the demand for the PlayStation 5. Look at their internal studios. Why would they change anything? It's just honest. Look, as much as I love what Xbox is doing, as much as I love Game Pass, all the services, everything that's happening, Amazon's obviously jumping in. We see Facebook's jumping in. Google's still doing their thing with Stadia. I get it. They technically have PlayStation Now. They partnered with Microsoft on the Azure side, obviously, to power that as well. At the end of the day, the PlayStation 5 is still about playing games. They still have the best internal studio exclusive lineup of anybody. Just a fact, right? So I don't see them changing anything short term. The only thing that will get them to change or try and partner up with someone is if all of a sudden Microsoft absolutely surpasses them in market share. You start to see more mass adoption of cloud gaming. PlayStation Now, as an example, maybe it's not competitive in that space, then you might see them pivot into something. But I think we're talking PlayStation 6 at that point. I just don't see them doing anything during this generation we're about to enter, other than what they've already been doing. Look, it's been working since 2013. What have I been saying, Pete? $399 works. Guess what? There's a PlayStation 5 that is $399. It won't matter this holiday because they can sell a $499 one and people are going to buy it anyways. But long term, they still hit that magic price point that they know people will buy their system at, right? We know the Uncharted, the God of Wars, the Ratchet and Clanks, the Days Gone, the freaking Horizons, on down the line. The Spider-Man, we know those banging games are still coming from them. Why would they change anything? So, curious your thoughts.
I don't know if you can see the video, but I had the whole stank face as soon as I heard the question. I just don't understand how or why Sony would even want to be acquired. No. There's no, like you said, zero need to. You don't do that when you sit atop the throne. You don't need to have someone come and assist you. So I don't know. Sorry. No offense. And I think your Keon's coworker asking for longer shows. So it's not going to happen. No.
Watch us argue on social media if you want a longer show. But seriously though, no, thank you for that voicemail. Really appreciate it. I mean, look, like I said, when you go further back, obviously PlayStation had a misstep with the PlayStation 3. They got a little arrogant. They overpriced the thing. It took them a long time to catch up to what the 360 was doing. We obviously saw Microsoft misstep going into the Xbox One era. I feel like they finally righted the ship as we're starting to enter this era, right? I'm really excited, you know, for everything that they're doing. But PlayStation has pretty much stayed consistent since the launch of the PlayStation 4. They've not done anything. I'm like, ooh, I don't know why you're doing that. Ooh, this costs too much. You know, it's, look, reasonably priced hardware, fantastic games. It's just a proven seller. So why would they change? They have no incentive to partner up with anyone. Look, this PlayStation 5 might be gigantic, but I don't want to get too much of an embargo. It's big. That's obviously you can see in the comparisons, but trust me, they have no reason to change anything. I'll just keep it that way. So, anything else on that, Pete, before we move on?
Let's go on. Next.
All right. So we're actually, speaking of long podcasts, we're actually at an hour right now. So, I think we should be going ahead and wrap this up. So, I'll just speak for myself just so people can kind of have an expectation of what's going to be happening the next couple of weeks. I will have impressions and reviews of certain things. I am unsure of Danny's schedule because he is traveling. I know we are going to collaborate on a thing, which will be coming soon during a certain date, period of time, right? I don't want to break any embargoes, but we got content coming in the next couple of weeks. Long story short, obviously I'll have a lot to say about the PlayStation 5. I have a lot to say about the Series X, certain games. We'll have a lot to talk about. As an example, I have not played Watch Dogs Legion yet. I just haven't, just with everything going on in my personal life and everything, I've not had the time. So I'll have impressions on that soon. Assassin's Creed Valhalla again is another one. Impressions for that will be coming down the road. Your boy's going to try out Godfall. I'll just go ahead and set that expectation. I will have impressions for Godfall coming. You can expect other certain games from certain companies. I will have impressions of that. I will say this. Call of Duty, Black Ops Cold War, as an example. I want to thank Activision because I haven't even told you this, Pete. So I am partnering up with them for Call of Duty Endowment. That is obviously the veterans initiative that Activision has been working on through the Call of Duty game. So I will have content coming out for that in the next couple of weeks. You might want to turn on your television in the next couple of weeks and digital platforms. You're gonna see your boy doing a couple things with that. Shout out to Square Enix and the Avengers. I will let that come out on its own and talk about that at that time. But there will be some things with that as well. And got a couple other secrets too. Oh, I'll say this before I get out. I know I'm talking a lot. I want to thank TCL. TCL is sending over their Series 6 television because I had an incident with my Sony Bravia television not working correctly. And TCL reached out and they were like, hey, we want you. We know you're reviewing the Series X and the PlayStation 5. We'd love for you to use our television to give the thoughts on that. So I'll have thoughts about that in the next couple of weeks as well. And I got a couple other secrets that I'm not going to talk about yet, but that's it. That's all I got. So yeah, there you go.
Parrish, you've become the new Mandy of GTR. You're the technology black hole. First, it's your Vizio TV. Now it's your Sony TV. What happens when technology gets in your hands, man? Why do things break?
What are you talking about? No, you know, you blame Sony on that. I know what the hell I'm doing. No, look, keep it real since you want to take it there. So I have a Sony Bravia. I have a 900F, right? And now with these new consoles, I wanted to take advantage of the actual advanced HDMI port feature on there. So, you know, I can do Dolby Vision and all the HDR stuff because I typically game in this room. I don't game out in the family room. But I'm like, all right, got Series X and all that. I want to game out in the family room and check that out. Turns out one of the ports on my Bravia, they work, but then they don't work. They work for a little bit, and then the picture starts flickering and doing all this weird stuff. So I've been trying to reach out to Sony support for literally a month about this, and I'm not getting a response. So I started doing it via social media, hoping I'd get a response. Still didn't get a response. Obviously, people saw it. That's why TCL reached out. So don't blame me. I know what the hell I'm doing. Other than that, all my technology is fine. What's your problem? Why are you trying to shade me?
No, man. I don't know.
No, and there ain't no, like, I don't know. What the hell are you talking about?
I don't know, man. Your Vizio TV died. Your Sony TV died. I don't know, man.
I love how you're bringing up a Vizio television that I have not had in 5 years. Stop bringing up old stuff. What's wrong with you?
Like a plunger. Bring it up old shit.
But that's it. That's all I got. That's it. We're waiting on you now. Dead air is bad, Pete.
No, I've got redacted and I can't talk about redacted. So it's redacted until it's not redacted.
Okay. Redacted. There it is. All right.
Redacted.
Yes.
Title of the show. Danny, that's it. Episode, was it 1083? Redacted.
Yeah,
that's
redacted. What it is. That'd be a good one.
Just redacted. Yeah.
So, I think that's it for this episode. Like I said, there's a lot to talk about, but we just can't talk about it right now. So apologies for kind of being all over the place with a few things on this episode, but it's coming. Trust me, it's coming. Be excited for gaming. It's going to be a great time as we go into this next gen of gaming with some things. And be excited. That's all I can say. Be excited. So anything else, Pete, before we get out of here?
Oh, that's it, man. It's been fantastic. Good talking to you again. Glad to have you back on the show, man.
Yep, thank you. Like I said, 2020 has been terrible for obvious reasons, but there's also been some amazing opportunities that have come as well. So, you know, you try to take the good with the bad, and there you have the facts of life, I guess, right? But so that's it for this episode. I want to thank everybody that was watching us live on Twitch. I want to thank everyone that's been listening on the podcast. And if you want to leave us feedback, you can do it just like this.
Send us your feedback or questions. Give us a call at 786-273-7GTR. Email us at fanmail@gamertagradio.com or leave a message on speakpipe.com/gamertagradio.
All right. This has been another episode of Gamertag Radio. I am Paris. That is Pete. And we will see you guys on the next one.
Thanks for listening to Gamertag Radio. Be sure to like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter.
Stay
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
You've done it again, finance teams. You closed the books, and it went fine. Sure, some expenses were missing receipts, but that's fine. Stayed late to process invoices by hand. It's all fine. But don't you deserve better than fine? With Ramp, expenses are submitted with a text, invoices are coded automatically, and everything is connected to your accounting system, so you can close the books without all the busy work. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again.